Anybody that's familiar with the culture of HBCUs and Black Greek life, you definitely have to be familiar with one of the most iconic TV shows of all time that helped put HBCUs on the map, A Different World, and also the movie School Days. But since that era, the era of that TV show and that movie, there really hasn't been much media bringing awareness to the culture of HBCUs. But our next guest, Maya Lipscomb, she's a Tennessee State University graduate and she's a content creator who she created a comedy series called Weird Maya, and that's exactly what it does. It sheds light on the culture of HBCUs and what it's like to be a student at an HBCU. So stay tuned, we'll be right back. Hey. What up, y'all? This is your girl, Adrena Martin, host of the Historically Black Sense the Culture Effect podcast show, and thank you all for tuning in. I'm a 2012 graduate of the illustrious Tuskegee University and also a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and I created Historically Black Sense a few years ago, and it's a media platform dedicated to the culture of HBCUs, Black Greek life, and positive Black culture thrown in as well. Follow us on Instagram at Historically Black Sense, and you can also visit us online at www.HBCUSense.com. So basically what this podcast is all about is we're going to be interviewing HBCU alumni, different Greek members, and also current students as well about the effect that their HBCU and their organization has had on their lives. So we're going to be having some great conversations, going to be some raw, open, and honest conversations, some much-needed conversations specifically, and some great guests as well. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right. So I have Miss Maya Naomi Lipscomb. Lipscomb. Okay, I'm sorry, I tried. But yeah, we have a Miss Maya on the phone with us today. And how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Interesting to hear your story of you creating your own TV series. That's exciting. So let's go ahead and get right into it. So give us, before we really dive into everything you're doing now, give us a little bit of your background information before getting to Tennessee State.
Okay. Well, I am originally from the D.C., Maryland area. I was born in Washington, D.C., and grew up in Adelphi, Maryland, which is like Prince George's County. And I attended Eleanor Roosevelt High School. And while I was in high school, I've always been a very creative person. Mm-hmm. So I was involved in dance all my life. I really enjoyed video and, you know, editing and everything. But I was in the science track at my high school. Eleanor Roosevelt is a magnet public high school. Mm-hmm. And I was in the science track because all my life growing up, I had intentions of becoming a veterinarian. That's what I said I wanted to do since a very young age, since mm-hmm. the age of 5, actually. And I really set up everything with that in mind. So mm-hmm. I had an internship at an animal hospital my senior year of high school. And, you know, that's what I was looking for when it came to colleges. I was looking for schools that had really good animal science and pre-veterinary medicine programs. Mm-hmm. But deep down, I really wanted to pursue, I think even then, I knew that, but didn't really see it as a possibility, wanting to pursue a career in film and media and entertainment. Mm-hmm. So it was something that I did as a hobby. My best friend and I, we had a YouTube channel that we had started, and it was just something I was naturally skilled in, but didn't mm-hmm. really see it as a professional career.
Mm.
And my focus was really on the sciences, academic-wise.
Okay. So, you attended Tennessee State. How did you, was there something that you always wanted to go to that school in particular, or how did you, tell us about your journey there.
I had applied to a few schools. Some were HBCUs, some were PWIs. Mm-hmm. Both of my parents are graduates of HBCUs. My father, Sylvester Lipscomb, graduated from Virginia State University. Okay. And my mother, Chandra Lipscomb, graduated from Tennessee State University. Okay. So I have a very rich history at TSU. My grandfather, my maternal grandfather, he was the dean of the agriculture department at TSU. and my grandmother was a nurse at the health center at CSU. Mm-hmm. And my mother attended, and she was a sophisticated lady, which mm-hmm. back when she attended, they were called majorettes, but she was a sophisticated lady, and she was also Miss TSU 1979-1980. Mm-hmm. So I had a very, very strong
wow.
connection and mm-hmm. this rich history with TSU and with my grandparents living in Nashville. I was there, you know, for holidays and over the summer. So Nashville was really a second home, and I would go to the homecomings as a child. So it really felt like that's where I needed to be. I did visit other colleges, and they were nice, but I knew that, you know, TSU was like a home from, away from home. And so that's what ultimately sealed the deal for me. It was the perfect fit.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got a lot of HBCU history in your family. Okay, so you went to Tennessee State, and then you also are a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. So how did those experiences, your HBCU experience and as being a part of your sorority, how have those experiences impacted you today? Because are you still in school, or when did you graduate?
I graduated from TSU in 2013.
Okay, 2013. Okay. I came out in 2012 from Tuskegee University. Okay, see right behind me. Okay.
Oh, right. And Tuskegee was actually one of the ones that were on my list. I attended a veterinary camp. I was probably in like middle school or elementary school.
Uh-huh.
But they have a very strong vet program. So mm-hmm. that was one of the schools that I was looking into.
Yeah, Tuskegee, good old Tuskegee. But how did your experiences on campus there, and even like post graduation, how do you feel like those impacted you and made you the woman you are today, or helped make you the woman you are today?
Yeah, well, so much. So for one, I knew that I had to attend an HBCU. Just to me, it just screams culture, just in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And while at TSU, I was very involved on campus. I was in SGA for 3 years, and I ran for Miss TSU for my senior year, but I didn't end up winning. But I was in some type of SGA position all the years before that, mm-hmm. and very active with that, with the honors program. I did become a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha in fall of 2011, mm-hmm. and was very involved with the sorority. And in terms of AKA, my mother is also a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and mm-hmm. there were other women growing up who were in my life who were members as well, that I always admired them for how they carried themselves, their integrity, and that truly inspired me to want to become a part of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with being involved in SGA and the other organizations, I feel that really shaped me to understand what it meant to be a leader, mm-hmm. what it meant to work as a team, organizational skills, development skills, and, you know, with the sisterhood in my sorority, I have built lifelong friendships that, you know, are more than friends. They're sisters, and I'm an only child, so, you know, those friendships are very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that, you know, not only did it help develop who I am now, but it of course is a big inspiration to my series mm-hmm. that we'll get into. But one thing with while I was in undergrad, my major was animal science, pre-veterinary medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I knew pretty early on that I'm not so sure if I want to do this,
mm-hmm.
but it was something that I always said that I wanted to do, and of course, you know, my parents were excited that I wanted a, you know, mm-hmm. lucrative career, like being a veterinarian, and so I told myself, you know, I'm going to stick with it, maybe it'll get better, maybe I'll like it more, mm-hmm. that wasn't really the case, but I made sure that I was involved in other creative outlets where I was able to, you know, really feed that desire to film and to edit, and I made sure, like, if there were Greek events going on campus or helping with a campaign or something, I would edit, I would film, you know, the promo videos for that, and I made sure to really stick with that and build that skill up, even though that wasn't my major.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that outside of just the character building and development, I really understood what it was that I wanted to do, even mm-hmm. though maybe my major didn't reflect that, but I noticed what things, you know, sparked a light within me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did graduate with my animal science degree. I graduated magna cum laude, so I mean, I excelled in science,
mm-hmm.
but after graduating, I knew that, you know, I'm not so sure what I'm going to do,
mm-hmm.
but it may not be this.
Right.
And after graduating, I worked as a veterinary assistant for almost 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and that really solidified for me that, you know, I love animals, but this is a career that you really have to be passionate about,
mm-hmm.
And with any career, but especially in medicine.
Right.
And I didn't see myself continuing on to go to veterinary school, and so at that time that I started looking into graduate programs for a master's in film, and I came across Lipscomb University, which ironically is my last name.
Mm-hmm.
It was not planned at all, but I came across Lipscomb University here in Nashville, mm-hmm. as well, and they had an MFA program specifically for film and creative media. So I applied mm-hmm. for that, and I started that in 2015. And so that found my career transition
in media
from animal science to film.
And you know, it's amazing because it's like you never know really where your path will take you. Like my degree in college was sales and marketing, and I never honestly in a million years thought I would be interviewing people and into media. So I mean, it's just it's amazing uh-huh. how, you know, God can take you, change your whole life,
yes.
and take you in a whole different direction. So it's interesting.
Yes, and all of you take to get there are perfect for. Like, I don't have mm-hmm. any regrets about, you know, having that major or even working in that field for the time that I did, because I think it really took me being in the field
mm-hmm.
to understand, mm-hmm. you know, and appreciate, like, what it was I truly was passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed time to really figure that out. And so sometimes it does take actually being in something else to know, no, that's not, you know, really for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. It's just a part of your journey.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And so now let's get into you and this new TV series you created, which is actually pretty dope. It's called Hashtag Weird Maya, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so what's the process like of creating your own television series, and it's based upon, I'll let you go ahead and explain it.
Okay, yeah, and the journey with developing Hashtag Weird Maya has definitely been one. It has been a process, and it's one that I'm still on.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea came about, it was actually before I had started applying to grad school, and I think I had just left my job as a veterinary assistant,
mm-hmm.
and I was starting to do things like extra work and, you know, try to shadow filmmakers and whatnot, but I had this concept of, well, let me take a few steps back. So
mm-hmm.
my interest in getting into specifically television
mm-hmm.
is I found myself becoming frustrated with a lot of the representations I was seeing of people of color, especially women of color,
mm-hmm.
and I always knew that I wanted to play a part in changing that narrative and creating positive, family-friendly content that really displayed a representation of, you know, my friends, my family, people who look like me in a way that I could be proud of. And I'm very inspired by shows like A Different World and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And
mm-hmm.
I just loved how they were entertaining, but they still instilled this positive message within them. And they were just lighthearted and just fun, and any age could watch them and watch it together. And so that really is, you know, what inspired me to create a show in that likeliness.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. So, speeding up to to my graduate school, mm-hmm. I had this idea of the show. I had written, it wasn't really in the proper format or anything because I hadn't taken any technical classes in screenwriting,
mm-hmm.
but I developed a character, I developed a basic storyline,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to do something with it in terms of reaching out to people, but I realized early on that I had no idea what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, may have this natural skill, but there's still a lot I don't know. This is a brand new industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that I, you know, paused and allowed myself to get into the film program and really learn the basics of development and networking and just writing. And so that's where the show, like, really took its true form.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was in my master's program, I produced a 5-episode miniseries of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, but maybe first I can tell you what the show's about. Then I can go.
Okay, yeah. So we know how to scratch.
So I play the lead character of Maya. So it's called #WeirdMaya.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place at an HBCU. It's a fictional school called Lloyd University.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows the story of my character, Maya Bridges, and she's the campus, quote-unquote, weird girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the title that she gives herself. She unintentionally draws attention to herself, attracts absurd situations,
mm-hmm.
and is constantly falling into the depths of all things weird because of the habitual lies that she tells to appear more normal.
Mm.
And just the situations that she puts herself in. And
mm-hmm.
the theme is really to understand that we all have something weird about us.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, that's what makes us who we are. That's what makes us special. But in her eyes, she feels that these characteristics that she sees as so different are what separate her, are what make her feel so apart and not included.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. It was interesting for me to place a character like that at an HBCU because I feel that, and I experienced that, an HBCU is so rich and diverse in culture.
Mm-hmm.
So just because, you know, it's a majority African American, of course, but people are from all over the country. There are people from all over the world, just different interests and personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one type of way to be, and that is so accepted. Like, your differences are accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it'd be interesting to put someone who felt that her differences were wrong
mm-hmm.
in a place where they're normally celebrated and appreciated.
So it's almost like, okay, so she's on the HBCU campus, so it's almost like a flip on it a little bit. Like, okay, so she's going to the HBCU, and she's kind of like the oddball out, but I'm just trying to wrap my brain around it and just make sure I'm understanding everything. So she's pretty much, she's kind of like the weird one at the HBCU, but it's more so to show like the diversity of characters, not characters, but diversity of people that go to the HBCUs, and that there's different, kind of like a play on the different personalities and the people you experience while going there. Okay.
And her title of being weird,
mm-hmm.
it's because, for other people, it's because of the situation that she puts herself in that, mm-hmm. sure, it may be a bit weird, but she's doing those things to fit in, mm-hmm. when in reality, she doesn't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes that time in undergrad for her to really understand that those things about her aren't so wrong.
Right.
Like, those are why she has the friends she has. Those are why that she, you know, got into the organizations that she'll eventually get into. It wasn't because something was wrong with her. It was because those things made her who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up, you know, always feeling strongly about being an individual,
mm-hmm.
and just unapologetically yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will always ask, like, is this about you? And I mean, a lot of it I do pull from experiences, but I would say that I am different in my character in that I'm okay with being unique. I'm
mm-hmm.
okay with, you know, being how I am, but for the character, that's something that she struggled with. And eventually, you know, she'll understand, but it takes some time. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that we all experience. There are all times that we may feel like the odd one out.
Right.
Or, you know, something's not meant for us or whatnot. And that's a human experience. And mm-hmm. it's important to me to bring a story like that on mainstream television, which I can get into a little bit later. But, mm-hmm. you know, having it be where it stars, you know, Black people, and mm-hmm. it's set at an HBCU, because that's not just a Black experience, like, that is a human experience.
Yeah.
But while at Lipscomb, I, along with my cohort and, you know, help from my professors, I was able to produce a 5-episode miniseries,
mm-hmm.
and my thesis project was a full-length episode of the show. That I went on to submit to film festivals, and it was in the 2018 Nashville Film Festival and the 2018 National Black Film Festival, which is in Houston, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and it won Best TV Pilot mm-hmm. there. So that was my first award for the show, which was really exciting. Uh-huh. And at that point, you know, in the back of my mind, I always saw this as being a show on television, but mm-hmm. I knew that, you know, it would take a while to get there. I just created it because I was passionate about it, and not knowing exactly how I was going to get there, but mm-hmm. I just knew I wanted to tell this story.
Yeah.
So after the film festivals, God has really had his hands on this project from the beginning. I mean, from the cast that has become a part of it. Some of my cast members mm-hmm. are also graduates of Tennessee State.
Mm-hmm.
So they were people who I knew in undergrad, while others auditioned for roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I met them, you know, while I was in grad school. But I mean, how everything has come together has just been so destined. Like, it just shows me that mm-hmm. you know, God is really aligning it.
Oh, yeah.
And as recent as last May 2019,
mm-hmm.
I was contacted by someone who I actually had never met in person. We were put in touch via email a year before,
mm-hmm.
and he reached out to me, and I knew that he was over this big film conference here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he had been hearing exciting things about hashtag with Maya, and mm-hmm. asked if I would be interested in participating in a pitch
mm-hmm.
that they have every year at the conference. And so at first thought, I'm thinking, okay, I graduated from, you know, film school not too long ago, like mm-hmm. this is still pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Like, am I ready? I was looking it up, and I just saw that there are a lot of established, you know, filmmakers and whatnot mm-hmm. who take part in this.
Yeah.
And I realized that, well, for one, he just contacted me out the blue, so, like, that was a sign.
Yeah.
And two, he was allowing me to participate free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just took that as, you know, another sign that mm-hmm. I need to at least just try. I need to try.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I got my pitch together, my writing partner. We were in the room, and in my mind, I just thought, you know, this is going to be a great experience for me pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it won't be my, you know, last time doing this, so mm-hmm. at least I'll use this to know what to expect in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And we blew them away. Like, they were so impressed by the pitch and just even the concept behind the show, and that's something that I wasn't really prepared for. You know, with not seeing many people that look like me mm-hmm. in the room, it being an all-Black cast, it being a show that was based at a Black school, like, I really didn't think that it would be received in the way that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there that I met the producer that's now attached, Joel Eisenberg. He was in the room with the pitch, and he immediately told me that he felt like this was something that should be seen on mainstream television, mm-hmm. and he would be reaching out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so after some back and forth and, like, sending him my pilot script and pitch deck and everything, he's partnered up with me on the show. and it's helping me, you know, take it to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, we are preparing to do a re-release of what I've already shot to release on a streaming platform,
mm-hmm.
and we are in the process of pitching it to television networks. So that is where I am right now,
uh-huh.
and what I've just been very prayerful about, but I mean, the journey has been unreal, but 100% worth it. I've definitely learned and grown a lot from it.
I'm really proud of you. No, it's good because I was just going to say, like, I'm really proud of you. That's, you know, that's dope. Not a lot of people can say that they've gotten that far with a project that they've pretty much come up with, you know, from scratch and, you know, the concept and everything. So that's dope. And I know you said you've already, you shot a few episodes. Are they still available for people to view or not right now?
Not right now. So they were initially, but once the producer got involved and we are now preparing to do a re-release on a streaming platform,
mm-hmm.
I am doing a special re-release, so kind of reworking the episodes, polishing mm-hmm. them up a bit mm-hmm. in preparation for that. So currently they're unavailable, but mm-hmm. my next, you know, big announcement will be, I'll be able to say that it's premiering on, whatever.
Exactly, yes. So right now, so you're the writer, producer, the editor, and pretty much everything right now. So what's one of, I guess, the hardest parts about, you know, producing your own series?
So for this one in particular, what made it really difficult, for one, I was in grad school at the time
mm-hmm.
when we were doing this. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my other crew members, you know, we were in school together.
Mm-hmm.
My actors, some of them were still in school. Some of them had jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it really was the balance of it all. And mm-hmm. with it being, you know, us being in school, it's not like we had a major production company or anything attached. So I just had to work with who I had. And that, and I'm also a cinematographer. As mm-hmm. well, so, you know, with this project, since I'm acting in it, I can't, you know, also film it,
mm-hmm.
but there were cases where, you know, I had to film a scene that I wasn't in,
mm-hmm.
and so it really took wearing multiple hats, you know. Sometimes someone had to be the first assistant director and the audio person. Like, you just had to kind of pull from
mm-hmm.
what you had available. So that is definitely always a struggle that, you know, I know as things progress, you'd be able to look back at and say, wow, mm-hmm. you know, we were able to really do a lot with little resources. And so that's something I am proud about. It can get overwhelming
mm-hmm.
In this process, and I started around 2015, so it's mm-hmm. been about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It has definitely taught me patience
yeah.
in the process, and, you know, really learning to embrace and enjoy every step of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are times where you're like, okay, like, when is this going to happen? But you have to take it
mm-hmm.
one day at a time.
Yeah.
One day at a time. And, you know, there have been times where I see later on, like, why things didn't happen the way that in my mind I wanted them to, because mm-hmm. it wasn't ready. I mm-hmm. wasn't ready, or,
yep.
you know, the right people weren't in place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm someone who, I believe in purpose, I believe in destiny, and my faith is very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really take in those messages from God and just really aligning my path and, you know, try not to get discouraged if things aren't happening, you know, right away, because I know that everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll happen in its time and how and way that it's supposed to.
That's so true. And I think, you know, it's so important that you say that, because a lot of people, especially, you know, young people our age, it's you know, we want things the way we want them and when we want them. And for a lot of people, it's hard to, you know, when they start something and it doesn't take off as fast as they think it should, or they don't get what they want, what they, you know, think they should. And it doesn't mean that it's not for us to have. It's just, you know, that one word, timing, you know, it's just so important, and, you know, to everything that we do. So, yeah.
Yes, because I have situation like that when I first started working on the show, and it just, like you said, it wasn't happening quick enough. Like, it was frustrating. I didn't know enough and all of that. And I took, like, a few months break from it. Mm-hmm. And I kept it, you know, like, I kept, if I had an idea, I would write it down. But I needed that time to just kind of, like, refocus. Mm-hmm. And figure out exactly what, you know, my plan was, like, what God wanted for this. Mm-hmm. And it was after that break from it that things really started to manifest and develop, and the resources started to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that's important. And mm-hmm. also, I mean, like, I'm very inspired, as I'm sure you may assume, by people like Issa Rae
mm-hmm.
and Ava DuVernay.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at their journey, you know, with Issa, with her having a web series and, you know, her being at the point that she is now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really just from being authentically herself and just really adamant about telling her stories and stories that matter to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone like Ava DuVernay starting her film career later in life, it's just proof that if you're diligent and you work hard, like, you can really get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so with me coming from a background, you know, animal science,
mm-hmm.
It's just proof that if it's something that you really want to do and you're passionate about, it doesn't matter where you start. You just have to start.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And just don't stop.
Yes, don't give up. You know, when times get hard, just stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, congratulations on everything. Is there any final words that you want to leave or anything else that you want the listeners to know about you?
Yes. Well, you can follow me and the journey on social media and on my website as well. So we have released a trailer of the mini series of the show that will be released soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while that's being released, we'll continue the process for the full-length
mm-hmm.
series for mainstream television.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal social media on all platforms is at Maya Naomi, and that's MYAHNAOMI.
Mm-hmm.
And for the show, it is at Weird Maya, WeirdMyah.
Mm-hmm.
And my website is mayanaomi.com
mm-hmm.
and /weirdmaya for a specific #weirdmaya update.
Okay. All right, #WeirdMaya. All right, well, congratulations on everything. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you on all the streaming platforms out there. And definitely keep us updated, too, with everything you have going on.
I will. And thank you so much for this. Was such a great conversation.
Oh, definitely. No, thank you as well for taking time out of your schedule to speak with us. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, Weird Maya. We will talk to you soon, and you have a great night.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Bye.